Colin. Welcome, everyone. I'm Roz Diamond, and welcome to FemTech Salon. As part of the Techspressionism Digital and Beyond exhibition at the Southampton Arts Center that has now been extended through July 24th, I just want to share a few words that I've written. In a time of increasing divisiveness, hatred, domination, and war, the feminine force has a lot to offer our world and our expanding universe. No reason to be exclusive here. A friend pointed out to me recently this past Mother's Day that, you know, we are all mothers. Anyone who has nurtured another child, a friend, a creature, or a live being, including ourselves, very important, has within them some aspects of what I call that warrior-like, nurturing, creative force and volcanic opening or openness, yes, an opening, that is distinctly feminine. When applied to art and technology, this force can speak to the new in impactful, enlightening, expressive, and connecting ways that words simply can't. And I must say, I find it what an interesting day to be having this FemTech Salon where we celebrate that feminine spirit, because at the same time we have our government trying to take women's rights away, a rather novel thing that's happening in our Constitution. At the same time, we have Madonna and Beeple have teamed up to make a pretty amazing NFT. It might have gotten some hot words, but I personally think it rather rocks. So it's an exciting day. Thank you for being here. And I always welcome argument. Not everybody has to agree with what I say or what other people say, so that we're in an open world. And that's a great, safe place to be in this space. And I want to thank Colin, who, of course, is the person who's made a lot of all this happen. And Davo's not here, but excited to be here. Please raise your hand as I call your name by order of presentation. I'm not going to be saying too much in between because we've got to get going here, but I might just say a comment and then go on to the next. And we'll hold questions to the end. Of course, feel free to be in the chat room, but I think that's the fair way to proceed. So first we have Ann Spalter. Thank you, Nina Sobel. Great to see you. Cynthia Beth Rubin. All right. Verneda Lights. Karen LaFleur, Renata Genizuska, Darcy Garbage, Najeen Estesabian, Nagin, I should know that. Giovanna, alias Dub Woman, Giovanna Sun, whose beautiful piece we have to at least acknowledge. That has been a great piece to lead this with. Thank you so much. And Cynthia DiDonato. Great. That's great. We had to have a few people we started with who had to unfortunately drop out, but we're just so excited about this. So without further ado, let's start with Ann Spalter, who's going to share her screen.
I'm giving a quick overview of my work and then the sort of feminist center part. This is a view of the work I have up in the show, which is also my background. I've been in the art and technology intersection area forever and ever, starting at Brown and Risty back in the 90s, when I also wrote this book when I was teaching there, which led to the beginning of our collecting digital art as well. And you'll see why that is relevant at the end. One of the focuses of the collection increasingly has been female digital artists, including Cynthia. Before the pandemic, I was focused on large-scale installations like this one from spring break and trying to combine analog and digital things together. This was right before the pandemic hit. Big inflatable sphere based on basically frames from videos based on photographs that I had shot in Miami. And the idea was a welcoming environment in the winter in Brooklyn. During the pandemic, when I couldn't do any work inside, I turned to AI, which we were briefly talking about, and those of you who saw my talk before about my pieces, this will be somewhat familiar. Started working with these image sets and the Playform platform, exploring similar themes to my other work of flight and airplanes and sort of escaping and freedom, but using this AI process that pits two image sets against each other and tries to develop something that looks like a member of the final image set by going through iterations where new versions are generated and compared to the images in the final set, and seeing whether they're sort of worthy of being in that final set, and if not, generating again in a process called a generative adversarial network. And through that created these very wacky compositions that I really liked, but were very low resolution. And my solution to that was to create pastel drawings. And those are the pieces that are in the show up, the Texpressionism show in Southampton. And definitely go check out that show if you haven't been, or check out the 3D version that's online. I'll skip over style transfer, another type of AI that I played around with, and go right to these custom pieces that tried to have more of a narrative sense. They're based on a process called text to image, which is what it sounds like. You literally type in a phrase and get back images. It dips into a vast database called ImageNet and finds images based on the text that you send in. And by working with the programmer, we were able to change the image prompt as the animation was being developed. So in this case, changing from spring, summer, fall, and winter to create these more narrative and cinematic pieces than what were possible with the no-code platforms. In this piece, I also worked with a musician, and you'll see also different types of motion in the piece as well. Changing the whole feeling in the middle just by changing the textual prompts. And the audio is not AI based. I had the honor of having this piece in an auction at Sotheby's, and I was also a co-curator of the auction. As has been the case with these auctions, it's what is one of a series of NFT auctions. All the highest prices did go to the male members of the auction. I don't know what to say about that. We put in half of the artists in our auction were female intentionally, which was wonderful, and several of them did set records, which was fantastic, and I got in the New York Times, which was, you know, great for me personally. I think it's still an issue that the male members get the highest prices, but I think the best thing is to keep putting women in the auctions and having them get higher and higher prices. In addition to AI, I began working with NFTs, and there are many pros to them. Right now, the whole crypto market is in a crazy crisis, which I won't go into. So there's been a lot of pain in the space, but it's been mostly positive for me in terms of getting paid right away, finding a direct connection to collectors, and getting royalties right away from pieces, which has been fantastic. There are many bad actors in the space, however, with all sorts of people losing their wallets and NFTs and getting hacked, and now with this problem with a supposedly stable coin losing its stability, crypto plunging in its value. But I think there are really, between things like AI and NFTs, exciting new tools and markets that present new opportunities, especially for women, And as an example, even more exciting, I think, than my own, Vera Molnar, who's an artist who we've collected in our collection for a long time. She turned 98 this year. In the Sotheby's auction, we had an older piece of hers from the 1970s that was a plotter drawing, and she created her first NFT, which sold for her for a record price, over $100,000, more than any other work she had sold before. And you can see how happy she was about it, creating this thing, and she was gleeful that she had gotten that price. And I just admired so much her openness to doing an NFT, her excitement about it, and her incredible persistence in just doing her artwork against so many challenges that she's faced throughout her lifetime of creating digital art through years when no one had any interest in it. So I think she's just an amazing example for all of us to know about and be inspired by. And this is a list of a lot of AI resources and also a guide to getting set up to make NFTs if anyone is interested. And all those links you can get from scanning this QR code if anyone wants to try them. That's the whirlwind tour of my artistic life, especially recently.
Anne, thank you so much. Did you want to add anything else, or are you?
No, I'm trying to be fast, and then if people have questions, they can ask them at the end.
Thank you very much. I love the strangeness of your work, and especially in this new space that you're working in with AI. I find it fascinating, and it speaks to a certain truth. Thank you so much, and you've been doing really making some headway out there as an artist and for other women. So it's been very inspiring.
Thanks for inviting me to do.
Next, we're going to go on to Nina Sobel.
Okay, I have something prepared. There's something else, if there's time, I want to show, but not sure. So
I would say save it to the end, Nina, because, okay?
Oh, all right.
Hello, and welcome to FemTech, Expressionism, Digital, and Beyond. My name is Nina Sobel, and I'll be talking about creating intimate connection and my perspective on women in technology with Roz Diamond. I believe the availability of technology for women arose in confluence with the feminist movement. Women's independence arising in the 60s gave way to thinking of and accessing technological tools much like different colors on a palette. Men watched closely and often adapted and capitalized on innovations created by women. By the time I was 20, I was seeking collaboration on remote-controlled sculptures and discovered experiments in art and technology, which encouraged women's participation. With the advent of the Portapak, video became available to everyone, and women claimed their territory. Computers, coding, and then the web opened up equal opportunities, such as the Code Show, curated by you, Roz Diamond. When Emily Hartzell and I collaborated with NYU's Center for Advanced Technology as artists in residence. And now, with the advent of Web3, women are fully entrenched in its development, which can no longer be denied. So in short, I am hopeful about the prospect of women's role in technology. And now I will be showing you Persistent Visions, a video playing in Texpressionism, Digital, and Beyond. Persistent Visions is a Texpressionistically submerged immersion of emotion, motioning expressions of time immemorial. Images move like falling mist across the sky, entering a vortex of spatial unknowns. Angelic figures emerge, beckoning us to experience their musings of beyond. Sensing a turbulent expansion of color, abstracted forms, and expressive sounds, fusing physical and digital realms. the remote control movable ceiling, EEG brainwave drawings, 1973, in collaboration with Mike Trivich, and Virtualis, the first wireless telerobotic mobile webcam, developed in 1995 for the Code Show. Virtualis's key component was a wireless telerobotic webcam mounted on a chauffeured motorized chair with a tiny monitor which directed the driver. Users on the web or passersby could control its movement. Passersby used touchpads for control, which were attached to the storefront window surrounding a monitor. It had a camera sewn into a card which fed back to the participants their image, superimposing that on the image of the interior space, which made them a part of it. We described the piece as a passage between physical and cyberspace. Recent intimate connections.
Oh, thank you so much, Nina. I would ask that you hold your other piece to the end, if you would.
Sure.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much. You know, looking, when we were watching your video, I was thinking of a term, a friend of mine who unfortunately recently died, but he didn't see it as death. He said he was entering the fifth dimension. He was quite a guru in the early digital days, Michael Gosney. But I sometimes feel like looking at these pieces, and Anne's as well, it's dimension is an important word because I believe that digital is leading us definitely into a new dimension.